And for Sean Pendergast, I'm Sean Bajani, along with Seth Payne. Appreciate you joining us this morning. If you'd like to be a part of the show, hit us up, 713-572-4610. You can text. You can also join the chat via YouTube or Twitch. I was going back and forth with somebody during the break on the text line. Text in, said, dude, Pierce is not making this team. I'm surprised he hadn't been cut yet. And I just said, like, dude, you're not going to cut a guy going into the final year of his rookie contract. Despite having Joe Mixon, Nick Chubb, Woody Marks, Darian Gumbawale in the running back room, guys get hurt. You're going to allow them to compete, and Pierce is good and has been good in his NFL career, that rookie season that he had. There's no way you're cutting him right now. Like, you don't know what he's going to look like just yet in a Nick Haley offense.
Yeah, no, I think they definitely have established they like the upside or believe in, you know, Dameon Pierce perhaps in a different system and with different coaching. He was always a square peg in a round hole when it came to trying to do the outside zone stuff. The trouble with that a little bit is that you're going to run outside zone plays. It's not like you'd have to be an outside zone base team, but you're still going to run outside zone plays. And does Dameon Pierce do better in it with the coaching of Nick Haley and with a better offensive lineman in front of him? But then also just, I think they are going to be more of an old school traditional man blocking run game that does suit Dameon Pierce. So certainly I wouldn't cut him right now. I think you want to see how he responds to the system, but it's depending on how Nick Chubb looks and how well he's recovered and how they feel about his health. Like, that's it's going to be hard for Dameon Pierce to make the team. There's a lot of running backs right now, and you've got two fullbacks and Yakov Johnson and British Brooks competing. They're definitely going to keep a fullback on the team. You drafted Woody Marks. Ogunbowale is really good on special teams. It's going to be a hard room to make.
Yeah, this is a huge training camp. Consider this. You say it's going to be really hard for Pierce to make the team. Okay, but guys get hurt, and then two, we can't get comfortable at all and hang our hat on Nick Chubb, you know, making it through a camp and being, you know, even half of what we know Nick Chubb to have already been at this stage of his NFL career. And you mentioned Braxton Berrios, return guy. Texans brought him in earlier this offseason, wide receiver. Like, you know, he's got to stay healthy too. He's got to, you know, perform and play well. There is competition throughout. I don't think between receiver, running back, and return men, to me, it's not easy at all right now to pencil in anybody.
No, and I mean, obviously, John Metchie and Xavier Hutchinson are very much in a prove-it type of scenario. I feel like Xavier Hutchinson, in some respects, I almost feel like he got a leg up just because the Texans drafted two other Iowa State receivers, and that doesn't make any logical sense at all, other than that I think Casario citing how many of the things that Xavier Hutchinson has done well as far as learning the offense and how polished he was coming out makes me feel like they still believe that about Xavier Hutchinson. And there's just you get more of a warm and fuzzy feel about him than perhaps John Metchie right now.
Yeah, I don't know about warm and fuzzy, but I like him better than Metchie.
More of a warm and fuzzy. I'm not saying it's 100% warm and fuzzy. If you had to count up warm and fuzzies versus cold pricklies, you just got a few more with Xavier.
Yeah. When you put it
that way. It's not a wealth of warm fuzzies.
When you put it that way, for sure. Hey, we talked about this yesterday, you know, a little bit. And shout out Jackson Gatlin as we get back to a little Rocket conversation here. You remember it was the exit interview day when Rafael Stone and Ime Udoka were available to the media. Jackson Gatlin asked both of those guys, like, hey, you know, your thoughts on the player and team efficiency numbers when Jalen Green is on the court versus when he is off the court. This is what it sounded like at that point in time.
There's a decent amount of lineup data that suggests this team has performed better without Jalen Green on the court this season. How much do you incorporate that kind of data into your decision-making process moving forward, be it roster construction, coaching decisions, that kind of thing?
Yeah, that's a really flawed question. So, like, we have there's great data that we have and we use. One of my favorite things I tell him when when we have a new coaches join, one of my favorite things to tell them is I can make data say whatever I want it to say. And so I think we heavily use it, but we're very careful to try and really parse it out. And I would say that some of our very best lineups include him. And so so that piece by itself, I just think that's just not correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, that piece itself and the specific stats you cited, and yet it words actions speak louder than words and numbers. And yeah. I mean, if you were frustrated at any point last year for Udoka not playing Jalen Green in critical stretches in the fourth quarter of games and what have you, I mean, their actions kind of spoke about probably how they really felt about Jalen Green and where he was and his decision-making, yeah. his passing, his reading of defenses, all of that. It wasn't just the playoffs where all of a sudden you saw signs that maybe the Rockets might not be as high on Jalen Green as some of the Jalen Green stands. They showed it with their actions throughout.
Yeah. You know, to me, Rafael Stone treated that question like as a I gotcha question. Like the follow-up that I would have liked, you know, somebody to ask, and I don't know if Jackson was even given the opportunity after that. I don't know what stage of the press conference that came, but it's like, what data are you looking at that says otherwise? Because we treat, you know, these kind of interactions in media versus players and GMs and coaches so much as like, I'm going to pin this guy down versus we're trying to fact find here. We have questions. We want to know why. We want to better understand what you're seeing, how you're grading and evaluating all of these things. I would have liked to have known the answer to that question, and maybe actions, as you said, speak a little bit more louder than words. Jalen Green, not a Houston Rocket right now. Kevin Durant, very much a Houston Rocket right now.
Yeah, the GMs, when they're in defending their players, that's where it just comes off the most egregiously. Like, last year, Nick Caserio said that it was a false narrative that the offensive line was struggling. And I would say it was a false narrative if you were saying the offensive line was the only issue with the pass protection, because there were issues at every level of the defense in pass protection, yeah. including the offensive coordinator. And the offensive line, by evidence, by the fact that the Texans got rid of three of their starting offensive linemen,
yeah.
that seems to tell me that the actions are a lot louder than saying it's a false narrative that the offensive line is struggling. Likewise with Rafael Stone saying that those stats are either primitive or they don't tell the story or whatever. All right, you did just ship off Jalen Green. I feel like it was a little bit more on the nose than you wanted it. I mean, understandably so. It was the right and smart thing for him to do, to voice nothing but support for Jalen Green right up until the moment they traded him.
You know, Rafael Stone said he can make data say whatever he wants it to say. Jackson Gatlin on Twitter last night had the data. I want to know from you what you think this says. Jalen Green versus Kevin Durant regular season passing stats. 82 games played for Jalen Green. He had 282 assists. Only 62 games played for Kevin Durant. He had 263 assists. So just 19 shy from Jalen Green and 20 fewer games played.
Yeah.
Jalen Green, 49 hockey assists. That's a pass that leads to another pass that ends up resulting in a basket. Green had 49 of those. Durant had 44 of those. Potential assists, Jalen Green, 549 versus Kevin Durant, 470. Mind you, Durant played in 20 fewer games than Jalen Green. When I see these stats, I have at least two takeaways. Do you have any when you hear those for the first time?
I think it just kind of jives with what you're hoping to see out of the offense is more ball movement. You've got a guy.
Bingo.
Yeah. Like it's just Kevin Durant isn't just sitting around there waiting for a catch and shoot opportunity or anything. That you want to see the ball whipping around the perimeter. You want to see guys that have the vision to understand that, hey, when I'm doubled, that's opportunities for other guys and knowing exactly where to go with the ball. Yeah, Durant adds that to your team, while at the same time opening things up just by his actual ability to score.
Yeah, I hope I didn't blow anybody's brains up reading all of those numbers. You know, it's 7:51 early in this morning. But ball movement is absolutely where my mind went. And then number two, this is where I need to see things happen. You know, we need to see it to believe it, kind of a thing, right? Kevin Durant on the court for the Rockets, offense is going to be better. Okay, what about when Kevin Durant has the ball? We mentioned, you know, his deference, you know, in passing and ability to move the ball around the court, something that absolutely was non-existent for the Rockets last year. Durant played with Devin Booker. Durant played with Bradley Beal. Booker, you know, averaged 25 points per game last year with the Suns. Beal averaged nearly 18 points per game last season with the Suns. The Rockets don't have, you know, anybody that scores the way that those guys do on the team, and nor as much as they do on the team right now. I think what we think we know we're going to see from this Rockets team is a little bit further away than reality.
It's that it's what you think you know is further away from reality than...
I think what we think we're going to see from this Rockets team in terms of, like, ball dispersion, who's going to be the leading scorer, who's going to be the number two, who's going to be the number three. Like, Alperen averaged 19 points. Fred VanVleet, 14. Amen, 14. Jabari, 12. I don't think that those guys fall exactly in line this upcoming season as they did last year. I don't think we understand at all how the Rockets and Ime Udoka are going to really utilize these players offensively yet.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of what you had last year, too, was that, all right, you can, in any given night, you don't know exactly necessarily who's going to be your big guy or your second biggest guy scoring.
That's it, yeah, exactly.
You're going to see a lot of that, hopefully, yeah. And that it's a genuine, just feels like a genuine offensive team as opposed to individual scores.
Yeah, yeah, the ball movement's going to be interesting to see because it just looked awful last year at times. Coming up next, we'll roll into the 8 o'clock hour. We've got the Petty Cast. Seth is feeling petty about some things, and we've got all kinds of stuff that we should celebrate next. It's Petty Cast. Stay there.